The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a happy Boxing Day to all my fellow Canadians. And, of course, Happy New Year ringing in 2018 this weekend. This is the last Talk is Jericho of 2017, and what a great way to celebrate it than with a Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Yeah, hi, Chris Jericho. Duff McKagan here. I want to say, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you got, Happy New Year. And I was calling to tell you about these three guys. It's a holiday joke. They all three died on Christmas Eve. And they go to the pearly gates, and St. Peter's there. And St. Peter says, hey, guys, you died on Christmas Eve. Instead of me going through your whole past and figuring out if you done right to get into heaven here, just give me something that shows me, like, the Christmas spirit. And the first guy, the English guy, he reaches in his pocket. He pulls out a lighter and lights it. And St. Peter says, well, what is that? And the guy says, well, it's the Christmas candles. And St. Peter says, you know what? I like that. You're through. He gets in. The second guy, the Scotsman, he sees what the English guy just did, and he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a set of keys and jingles them. And St. Peter says, well, what is that? And the Scotsman says, they're the sleigh bells. And St. Peter says, well done, well done. You're through. The last guy, the Irish guy, he looks at what the other two guys did, and he's kind of panicked. He's rummaging through his pockets, and he pulls out a set of panties. And St. Peter says, well, what do you got there? And the Irish guy says, they're carols. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Ah, yes, another classic from Duff McKagan, Guns N' Roses bass player, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and a joke or tour. He's a joker, he's a smoker, he's a midnight toker. All right, thanks, Duff. Happy New Year to you and your family as well. Like I said, this is the last TIJ of 2017, and it's also the last Talk is Jericho here on Podcast One. I've got a big announcement to share with you. Talk is Jericho has a new podcast home for 2018. My show is moving to Westwood One, the famous Westwood One. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear, a Motley Crue concert on the radio or Bruce Springsteen concert on the radio. And then I would say, this has been a presentation of Westwood One Radio Network. Well, here we are with Westwood One, full circle. When I decided to pick up and move, Westwood One was the platform that stood out to me the most, because when I was a kid, it meant a lot to me to always hear those Westwood One specials. And here we are moving to Westwood One. Plus, I went to Westwood High School. So it's all coming together. But listen, nothing is really changing. Okay. We're still doing two episodes per week, every Wednesday and Friday, just like we've always been doing. But now, check out all these places you can find Talk is Jericho: Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, and of course, Apple Podcasts on iTunes as always. We're going to have a new web location as well. It's omni.fm/show/talk-is-Jericho. We're all over the place, man. We are bad. We are nationwide, coming in 2018. Good news is, too, the Jericho Network is coming with me. So Westwood One, here we come, bigger and better. I really feel that Talk Is Jericho is going to go to a whole new level with Westwood One. And like I said, just the fact you can now hear the show, get the show, download the show from Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, and, of course, Apple Podcasts and online as well. It is going to be huge. Talk Is Jericho. I want to make it the biggest podcast in the world, and moving to Westwood One was a perfect start to do that. So 2018 is going to be a big year, but we're leaving you off with 2017 with a great show. I've got YouTube sensation. He's known for doing crazy outdoor stunts involving animals, reptiles, and insects. I'm talking about Wild Charles Wyand, who just launched his brand new show on Facebook Watch. It's called The Wild Charles Show, and he releases new episodes every week, and they are just as crazy as what he's known for, the stuff he's known for on YouTube. You know, naked beekeeping, floating in a lake infested with alligators on a little dinghy, swimming with great white sharks, sitting underwater with an anaconda wrapped around him. He is a wild man. He's a modern-day Steve Irwin. He's going to talk about all these adventures, what inspired them, how he pulled them off. You'll find out how he started doing all the YouTube videos in the first place and some of the other projects he's hoping to do in the new year. He calls himself a daredevil and an adrenaline junkie. I call him wild. He's Wild Charles Wyand. Coming up next, and also coming up January 4th, Alpha versus Omega. We are just days away from the big main event match at the Tokyo Dome, Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. You can watch it live at newjapanworld.com. Subscribe for $9.99 a month. You can see this match for $9.99. And also, for a little bit more than that, but not too much, go to Hot Topic or hottopic.com and be a part of the Alpha Club. Get your Alpha Club t-shirt. It is the number one selling wrestling t-shirt in all of Hot Topic. It's beating the Bullet Club and Kenny Omega and Cody, beating all the WWE shirts. And get this, on hottopic.com online, it is the top selling t-shirt, period. Bigger than Stranger Things, bigger than Star Wars, bigger than Rick and Morty, bigger than Riverdale. The Alpha Club taking over the nation. Go check it out now. And remember, if you got some Christmas cash burning a hole in your pocket, well, I got a lot of things you can spend it on. Number one, treat yourself to a Fozzy show. The Judas Rising 2018 U.S. tour kicks off in New Orleans on February 28th. We're doing over 30 dates on this trek. We're finally hitting the West Coast as well. Las Vegas, San Diego, Phoenix, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, going all across the country. We're taking Through Fire, Santa Cruz, and Dark Sky Choir joining us or with us. FozzyRock.com has all the gig information, cities, dates, venues, tickets, where you can buy them. And you know we're doing the classic Fozzy VIP meet and greets. Nobody does VIP like Fozzy does. We do a whole mini concert before the show. We take requests. We do some covers. We have some fun. We take some pictures with everybody, sign whatever you want us to sign. It's one of the best VIP experiences in music. All the tickets for Fozzy, all the VIP experience information at FozzyRock.com. And also, don't forget Europe. We're going to be hitting there January 28th in Paris with Steel Panther. So lots of stuff going on with Fozzy. So check us out at FozzyRock.com. All right. Next up, YouTube star Wild Charles Wyand. He's got a brand new outdoor adventure reality show on Facebook Watch called The Wild Charles Show.
Talk Is Jericho.
Okay, so it's funny. So we're on tour right now with Fozzy, and I get an email through my website and a DM from Charles Wyand, and he's like, "Hey, I'm coming to the show, and you just want to say hi." So I'm like, "Well, I wonder who it is." So I Google it, and then instantly, nowadays, to see how somebody looks on Twitter, like 350,000 followers. Who is this guy? And then I look into it, and it's like, "Oh my gosh, how do you describe yourself?"
How do I describe myself?
Vocation-wise, what's your job?
Wow, daredevil, comedian, goofball. I do all kinds of crazy stuff.
And that's the thing that I saw, which was, comedian, but and then kind of delving into it. Yeah, crazy stuff, and we'll talk about all of it, but it's swimming with anacondas and a floaty alligator in an alligator pond and the beekeeping naked, and it's like, oh my gosh.
That's the one I'm most proud of right there.
But it's funny too, because I was just talking in Columbus. I had a guy on earlier, a paranormal dude,
Who'd you have on?
His name was Rob Zarek. Cool. He runs a thing called Live Paranormal. Cool. But he lives in the area too. So he came in, and then you're in. It's like two strange men coming to a strange man's room for the first time, right? What if I was like lying on the bed with like, hey, what's up, man? But you said that you were just doing some paranormal stuff.
Yeah, I was just out at the Mothman Festival out in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It's a huge, crazy festival where basically it's – they build a festival around the whole Mothman sightings and the Mothman.
The Mothman is like kind of a legendary kind of monster.
Yeah,
but Richard Gere had the Mothman.
Yeah, Richard Gere was in the Mothman movie, and there's that whole idea that it showed up in this kind of this crazy looking, almost bird, almost bat, moth looking thing with red eyes. It flies over your car.
Yeah.
I went out there, actually recreated the whole drive. Like, there's a place called the TNT area. Oh, man, you got to get out there, man. It's the creepiest place ever, dude. It's like the creepiest place ever. It's like old World War II munitions bunkers where they made munitions. It's actually a toxic waste site.
Wow.
It's also in Native American burial ground. And it's the
weird.
Location of all these weird sightings that they had. It's the location of all these weird sightings.
So how did you end up out there?
How did I end up out there?
You just wanted to go check it out? Or are you into that sort of stuff too?
Oh yeah, I'm like you, man. I have like a lot of diverse interests. I'm into the animal stuff, the travel stuff, the comedy, and so it's just an interesting, weird kind of thing. And
that's cool. Yeah.
So what I'm doing is like it's wild Charles, it's wild comedy, it's wild travel, it's wild adventure, wild people. Mm. So it don't get any wilder than red-eyed
giant moths. So let's talk about how this started, though.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about your 350,000.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. That's
Canadian
crazy.
And all these. You have an actual niche for yourself.
Yeah,
you're not just a comedian or just a jackass Steve-O type guy.
I met Steve-O.
Yeah, well, he's all right. He's cool. But how did this all get started?
Well, I started out. I was doing these videos where it was kind of an outdoor, kind of like the animal stuff, the travel stuff, and I was doing that because I'm a big adrenaline junkie. I like to do crazy stuff. The thing about me is, like, I am, like, most people, they get ideas, right? And these ideas pop in their head, and they have another little voice that says, don't do those ideas. I don't have that voice. So I get an idea like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to swim with sharks? So I go out and find a way to swim with sharks. Wouldn't it be cool if I wrangled alligators? So I find a guy that can teach me how to wrangle alligators. Look up the guy on Animal Planet and make it happen, you know? Mm. So
how can you do that, though, for example? The one that I watched last night, and it's on YouTube, all of these are, was you...
They're also on Facebook Watch. I really want to plug my Facebook Watch.
Okay, Facebook Watch.
Facebook Watch, they just started it. A lot of people don't even know what it is yet.
What is it?
So it's basically like Facebook's Hulu / eventually
gotcha.
It's going to be YouTube. Not everybody can put videos on it right now, but I have a show on Facebook Watch. Go out there and follow me. A lot of people don't know about it yet. Go out there and follow.
They're starting their own channel, basically.
Their own.
So we're talking. But the one that I saw, which will be on Facebook Watch as well, was you blow up like an alligator swim toy, which we actually have had before, and then go out into this pond where the alligators are in there.
Yeah.
How? Did you do that?
How did I blow it up? Very carefully, man. I just
those things are hard to do. That'll tire you out.
I know it was a lot of like
but I mean, how did you find this? Like, it looked like a zoo or something. Who's letting you
do
this?
That's actually is a awesome place, a super awesome place called Everglades Outpost Animal Rescue. That's where I learned to wrangle alligators. So, that's the crazy thing. Just I would never do anything that would actually, you know, endanger an animal, though. So just, you know, what I'm doing.
Endangering you, though. That's what I'm watching. Like, this alligator was like 8-9 feet long, the one that I saw.
Yeah, that was crazy. I have a crazier video than that. I'll tell you about
in
a minute, but, yeah, like that made headlines like around the world. That was in the news. That video was
in
the news.
So like, they're allowing you to go do this because you've trained with the
alligator. I've trained and I volunteer there.
Gotcha.
I train and I volunteer there. So Bob knows, he knows me. He knows I know how the animals react. So I made it look very easy. Don't do that. Do not. If you go out and watch this video, don't go through a pond of alligators on an inflatable crocodile. because it might end well.
How are you treating this? Like you said, you know how they react. Yeah. Like, do you know that they're not going to bother me because I'm on top of the water? Or what's the mindset?
Well,
there?
It doesn't matter if you're on top or below. Sometimes you hear this thing that's like, alligators won't bite you if you're underwater. That's not true. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the way alligators work is there's certain rules. I mean, with any animal you're interacting, there's certain rules with how to interact with that animal. Alligators have a certain bite radius. I mean, they can move at a certain speed. You kind of know how fast they can move. You also know where they can swing. You know how they turn, and you can stay outside of that radius if you're smart. If you're smart, yeah.
So do you have a backup plan if it just
I'm not smart, but you know.
If it just comes swimming right at you, do you have a plan or
move?
So it's a lot.
Yeah, the drone comes down, it lifts me up, and there's like it's got these
helicopter drops the rope for you to go.
It says we're out of here. No,
but do you ever like think like what would happen about?
Well, see, you know what? That video isn't actually the craziest one I've done with alligators. There's another video. It's out on Facebook Watch where I walk into a pond with 70 of them. Literally just walk, and you can't see. And right. the crazy thing about alligators, and I love alligators, like big dinosaurs. I was wearing a Jurassic Park shirt, by the way, but when I did that, I'm like, why not?
Yeah, homage.
Literally 70 alligators in this pond. It looks like something. I mean, this is how, I guess, in the Middle Ages, they might have got rid of people, right? Just throw them in the alligator pond.
Sounds very great Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. You know what I mean? Seriously,
so
Game of Thrones.
You were just like basically walking into the pool, like waiting in.
And I did not do this on my own. I was with my the guy that taught me everything I know, Bob Freer. Awesome guy. He's like the Gator Whisperer. Really cool guy. He's also on a show, Animal Planet's Animal Cops. He's on that show. He's like, you want to walk in? And I'm like, how far, man? He's like, well, how far you want to go? And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm walking into a pond. So there's a technique with that too. The thing is, as you approach them, they dip down under the water. Believe it or not, it seems like a crazy idiot thing. Like some of the comments are like, that's the epitome of idiocy, right? But there's actually a way to do that where you're less likely to get bit.
And what is that?
So you're walking in, you have a stick. You keep a stick with you. You use the stick almost like a blind man, and you can't see what's right in front of your foot. And you use that stick to see if there's an alligator right in front of you so you don't step on it. Mm-hmm. And you walk out and I tapped some alligators. I had an alligator bite my stick. That happened. Mm-hmm. But then you navigate around. And so
there's enough room where you can like walk through them.
The crazy thing is they kind of bunch up. Like they kind of go, they move away from you some, and they just sit down at the bottom of the thing. And if you watch this video, it's really murky. You can't see. This is like a gator minefield. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah,
it's
sure,
crazy stuff. But so is there space? Well, not necessarily. You have to tap and see. You have to use it. And when you're walking out, that was the crazy thing. We got out there, we're in the middle of it, and this is really, really epic kind of like mind-blown kind of video here. And you got to get back out. Right? How do you get back out of a pond of alligators when they swim behind you? Because, you know, they just swim wherever there's space. So now you can't see behind you. You can't see in front of you, but you're going out. Drag your feet.
Really?
Drag your feet.
Kind of slides.
So if something just bumps into them, they're likely to think it's just a log. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're just standing, well, not when you're moving, but anyways, if you drag your feet in case there's something behind you, and you use the stick again, obviously.
So your task is just to walk across this waiting pool and then walk out the other side?
So they were actually draining it to catch out some alligators.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I've caught up alligators and wrangled alligators and did the tricks with them and stuff.
What's the secret to wrangling an alligator?
Don't get bit.
Good advice. Do you try and keep their mouth closed? Or
so alligators have a lot of shut power. But they don't have a lot of opening power. So when you're catching up an alligator, if you can get their mouth and get it closed.
Oh, I see.
You're good. Because literally you could keep – and I've done this. You can literally keep their mouth shut with your chin.
And
they don't have a lot of opening power. But they have more bite force than a great white shark. So if you're if it's coming down, that's when you're screwed.
Wow. So yeah. Is this kind of what attracted you for you to get so many, like, you know, Twitter followers and views, because the word started getting around about this guy's doing all this crazy stuff?
It's just blown up online. Now I do all these live videos too. So I'm doing a lot of Periscope stuff where, hey guys, I'm out here right now and there's an anaconda. I've collabed with other guys that are big internet celebrities.
Yeah. But that's the world we live in
now. Jake Paul and those guys.
See, my daughters love Jake and Logan Paul.
Oh, okay, all right, cool. I took an anaconda over Jake's house.
Really?
Yeah. You know, he's getting in trouble now for some of the crazy stuff he does over there now.
It's funny because I had a little bit of a brief conversation with him because my daughters were like super, into him.
Cool.
So I was like, hey, you want to do my podcast? He goes, send some information to my people. I'm like, all right. Send it to his people. Never heard anything about it. So.
I was phone.
How did this all start for you? You said you're an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of stuff were you doing, like, in like high school or college?
Oh man. I was a wrestler, man.
Oh yeah,
I wrestled. I went to state wrestling and stuff.
Okay,
and
I
did some crazy stuff in high school and stuff. But nothing like this, you know. I biked. I would go and, like, you know, bike across the state of Michigan because I just got this idea. Hey, I want to do that, you know, just bike across it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I did a lot of camping and outdoor kind of stuff. So I was always into the outdoor kind of stuff. And just in recent years, I've really got. It's kind of like you get an addiction, and it gets worse, right?
So what was your first, like, big stunt?
You need more rushes.
What was your first big stunt you did for Facebook or for YouTube, like, where you started getting the name out there, being the
first big one was the one with the blow up alligator.
Okay.
That was the first one that went out there, and it was in the news all around the world, and I'm looking, and literally in China, I'm like, that's nuts. People are reading about me doing this in China.
What is most of the reaction? Like, what is this idiot doing?
I don't know Chinese, but I would assume all those crazy looking characters, and I have Chinese followers too, which is funny because sometimes I post a fortune cookie now, and they're like, the Chinese on it is wrong.
right. It's funny when you say. I just saw the demographics from, like, Facebook of, like, you know, they can get every country that you're in, and some countries are like Zimbabwe is number 10. Like, Zimbabwe? Like, who's got internet in Zimbabwe? But then, you know, like, Australia would be like number 27 or something. It's just weird that there's parts of the world that follow you.
Yeah, no, I've had people in the live streams watching from the UK, watching from Athens, Greece, not Athens, Ohio. Athens, yeah. Greece.
Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. I mean, the it's crazy how you can just.
Well, tell us about some. So once you get some steam with the floaty alligator thing, then you're thinking, okay, now I got to do more. So tell us about some of the other things that you've done.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of crazy animal videos. That's one of the things that I do. And another one of them, I've done alligator stuff, walking into the pond of alligators. Underwater with an anaconda was another big one.
But isn't anaconda, isn't that it's like a home territory? Like, doesn't it live under the water? And
yes, anacondas love water.
Because I saw the movie Anaconda.
Oh yeah, don't believe anything you've seen from the movie. There's a part in that video where I look just like the guy that's getting killed.
Oh, it just goes around.
It's literally this. It's the same size and everything.
So how deep is it? A pool? Is it a pond?
So that actually was in a natural pool. That was in a natural pool. And I know the owner for that, and I've wrangled that. That anaconda before, so I knew the personality. Had I been underwater with it? No. Had she been underwater? No.
So what's the personality of an anaconda?
That's the crazy thing, you know. A lot of times you see Discovery Channel and you see a lot of animals biting and stuff, and a lot of times that's for views, man. They get them riled up so they can, you know, they can get the audience, right?
Sure.
You got the guy talking about anacondas. You got the guy that got eaten by an anaconda. He had to rub pig guts on him, you know, to try to convince that anaconda to eat him.
Wow.
You know, he really went and it still didn't eat him.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Well, geez.
We knew that was going to happen.
What a loser.
We knew that was going to happen. But, I mean, it depends. I mean, if they've been interacting with people, they can be really docile. I've worked with a couple really docile anacondas. It just really depends on, did they grow up? Are they a pure wild one? Well, they're probably gonna try. They're gonna try to bite you, right? But if they've been handled, they're at a zoo or a rescue.
I understand. Yeah. So when you're talking about, you said that alligators, for
that
example.
That said, underwater in a situation where literally you're holding your breath. I'm a free diver, so I can hold my breath for about 3 minutes. People were saying, oh, you're going to drown the anaconda. No, the anaconda can hold way longer, you know, like 12 minutes, you know
but,
what I mean?
But I just wanted to say that before, when you're talking about wrangling the anaconda, you said when you wrangle the gator, it doesn't have big opening power, so that's your safety. How do you wrangle the anaconda? What's the safety on that?
What's the safety on that? Have another person there. Have another, just in case. Because the reality is, obviously there's a way in interacting and feeling how they move, but they're really, really strong. Incredible. Just having in their hand and feeling how they move, incredible. Just
wow.
That was a crazy thing to do.
So what happened when you were in the water with it?
Well, I mean, I let her wrap around me and let her swim, and I mean, it's like you know, let her do her thing. I mean, she's an anaconda. If she's mad, she has ways of letting me know.
What do you mean?
This is a 12-foot, 100-pound anaconda.
So when she wraps around you, you're trusting that she's going to unwrap.
There is a trust there. There is a trust there, and there's also the fact that I can hold my breath for
a
substantial amount of time. I have a guy who, right here, who's worked with the Discovery Channel with lots of big snakes. And can step in and help too.
Gotcha. That would be the backup plan if she does. Because when they wrap around, they start squeezing, right?
Yeah,
like a boa constrictor sort of thing.
They're definitely in control.
Yeah,
she was in control.
How big was it?
So some people put like I was wrestling with her. If it was wrestling, she's gonna win.
Yeah, especially under the
water.
It was
more like a kind of dance, right? You know. But
how long was she?
She was 12 feet.
Wow,
12 feet.
Okay.
One of the biggest anacondas in captivity in North America.
It was in America.
Yeah.
Okay.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this: rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
You know what's great about the Volkswagen Sign and Drive event? No matter how you sign your name, you can get a great deal on select 2018 Volkswagen models. Sign perfectly neat, you get a great deal. Sign super messy, get a great deal. Sign outside the lines. Do one of those fancy weird signatures where your nine-letter last name looks like a half a V. You still get a great deal on models like the all-new Tiguan SUV or fun-to-drive Jetta. So practice your signature. Then head over to your nearest Volkswagen dealer for the Sign Then Drive event, going on now for a limited time.
This is Talk is Jericho.
So as we talk about, you mentioned the Discovery Channel and all stuff. Like, have you ever tried to get a show or do a show?
I've had people reach out to me about shows. Here's the thing, I am really interested in doing it. The last guy that reached out to me was gave me this talent agreement. You know, it's a talent agreement, and it's got all this stuff in it, right? You know, and I'm a internet guy. I don't know about that stuff, right? Yeah. And it's got everything, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm looking at it, and it's just like, if there was a theme park about me later, this guy owned it.
I gotcha.
And I was just And it literally, like, if there's a sequel, it sounded, you know, I do all, besides the animal stuff, I do comedy, I do some stand-up, I do, I also do, you know, I do some music, I goof around with that, you know, I have
there's really, a lot of stuff that you
and
do.
I put all this in the show. It's like a travel music, crazy people I run into, crazy animals, cool places, all this stuff, and I put it all in the thing, but it's, from that agreement, it looked like basically anything I did anytime in the future,
it would be
this guy was going
to
own.
Right.
And I had a lawyer look at it. He's like, "That's not a big good deal. Pass on that one." So
people still waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
And what is the title? Was it the Wild Comedian? What do you call it?
Wild Charles.
Wild Charles.
That's also my stripper name.
hence the coming to the strange. Did somebody buy you to dance for me today?
That's why I showed up here. I'm expecting a tip.
I was wanting to just talk briefly about free diving because my son and I went spearfishing in Maui this past summer.
That's awesome.
And the first, we went twice, but the first time was about a 2.5 hour lesson about the breathing control and about how that works.
Yeah, no,
but
it's insane.
Explain
stuff.
How that works. It's pretty crazy when you get down there.
It's insane stuff because I never knew I could do this. Never knew that I could do this. I had a friend who was a free diver. He got me into it, and he was my coach. Sadly, he passed away in a car accident, which was really sad.
Right.
I actually dedicated the Anaconda video to him because I had to use those skills.
What's
and
his name?
He's in some of the
techniques.
Yeah, yeah.
What was his name?
He's Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the free diving though. He kind of taught you that, but I want to explain when you go down to the bottom, and
it was Mike Kell.
Okay, there you go.
There's actually a free dive group out there. If you're interested in free diving, it's Mike Kell. It's named after him. So you can.
The idea was that you would go under the water, and then the guy that taught us was like, if you want to take a breath, your mind is tricking you into thinking that you need it, but you really don't.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing because that's what he taught me. Because basically, I thought if you feel like you need air, you better get the hell up, right? Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I've always thought about.
Right. That's what everybody thinks.
You feel your chest. You actually feel these like contractions in your chest, and you're like, shit, I need some air now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is, no, actually, that doesn't mean that you need to come up. That's just a natural thing that happens because your body is used to breathing. Your body's used to breathing, and suddenly it's like, oh no, I'm not breathing. What's going on, right? That doesn't mean you're out of air. It doesn't mean you need to come up. It means, and some people are listening right now like, yes, it does.
Yeah, but we really tried it because they were talking about basically a little bit of a CO2 type of a thing too where it tricks you into thinking you need the breath. But when you go to the bottom, he said, okay, when you need a breath, count to 10. And then count to 10 again.
Yeah.
And then count to 10.
Yeah.
The only times when I would shoot up to the top is when I started overthinking it. But this guy was like a 5 or 6 minute at the bottom.
Yeah, no. Mike could hold his breath 5 minutes, and he could dive down. He would dive down to the bottom of quarries, 100 feet.
And then you got to blow
no
your
scuba.
You
no
gotta
scuba.
Blow, yeah, you got to blow your nose every 3 seconds to equalize. Yeah. And then what this guy was doing, his name was Robert. He would go to the bottom and just ambush. So he would sit there on the bottom, lying there until the invasive species just kind of came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to kind of see how that really works. But like you said, it's more of a psychological thing.
Exactly that way. Basically, free diving, breath holding, just sit and wait.
Yeah, it's an interesting fact that I never knew anything about. But
it's crazy.
You mentioned talking earlier about the naked beekeeping. Let's talk about that.
Naked beekeeping. guys, you want to go check out my video, Beekeeping Naked. It's PG. Just so you guys know, it's PG. You know,
yeah.
Chris has already been watching it, so, you know.
We don't actually see his honeycomb, so it's okay. You don't see his stinger.
Conveniently placed frame of stinging insects.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's out there. I grew up beekeeping, man. I grew up, my dad has bees. When I grew up, I got him into beekeeping, man. I was a geek when I was a kid, man. I besides the wrestling, I had that little bit of that, but like part of me, I mean, kind of like, yeah, like I like bees, you know, mm-hmm. and I got into them. That's one of those ideas where I said that I wanted to do this, and I even shot it by my father on it, and he's like, that's nuts. Don't do that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. I think it's gonna be fine, man.
Why is he saying it's gonna be nuts? Why is it nuts?
Well, I mean, I'm asking. Well, how many times do you think that I'll get stung? I mean, would it be 12? Would it be 30? What would it be? You know, what's the worst it could be? Right.
Right.
He's like, I don't know. It could be hundreds. I don't know. I really don't know. Right. And you get these guys doing these bee beards and stuff. You've seen those when they
yes.
have that's when they're actually swarming. This is actually taking a frame out that's. They're not swarming. It's not that kind of thing where they're trying to come towards the queen. This is just doing bees mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in the buff.
Right, right.
So the crazy thing about that, man, the crazy thing about it is I thought I would probably get stung, man. I didn't get stung a single time, man. Not a single time. It's like a miracle or something,
It's interesting, like you said, though.
And they're flying around and you're just like, doing this circle thing, and they're landing on me, someone crawling on me. You know what, man? I don't know. But one thing I will tell you, if you have bees crawling up your inner leg, man, that's I don't know, man. I don't know about that part.
Yeah, it's not something that you're not going to sit there and let them bite your balls.
I don't know if I recommend that experience to people, but it's something, it's a unique experience.
I like your point, though. Like, you know, okay, what's the most I could possibly get stung?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, but then you're like, you know, you never know. Like you said, what if they just go nuts or something like that?
And the other thing is, sure, I could have pissed them off and got them to sting, right? But one of the cool things I like about my videos, and there's guys out there that, you know, they get attacked by animals. All right. One of the cool things I like about my videos is I don't really get attacked. I mean, I'm in an absurd situation where you think, shit, he should get attacked, but it doesn't happen. The bees are fine as long as you're interacting with them and you know how they act, right?
Right, right,
and
right.
And you're not trying to piss them off, you know. You know, I was expecting to get stung a couple times, probably. But yeah, so that's the cool thing. That's the cool thing about it.
Talk me a little bit about what you mentioned, that your dad was
was
a beekeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the concept of that? Just to produce honey, or how does the hierarchy of bees work? Like, they follow the queen and they make honey, and then you take the honey, and that's what you have them there for.
Yeah, my dad sells honey.
Okay.
And he also rents out the bees. So
for what?
So farmers, pollination. So all these crops and stuff that we're growing, they have to get pollinated somehow. So farmers will actually rent bees.
No kidding.
And then they take them out, and you can get them on your farm so that you end up having more crops.
How do you get them back?
There's not a lot of wild bees anymore. Bees have so many crazy diseases now, and there's bee disappearance now that they don't even understand why they're disappearing. There's pesticides that wipe them out. There's mites. Believe it or not, there are little mites, little hanging mites that just grab a hold and suck on a bee.
And it's making the bees extinct or something like this?
Oh, it weakens them and they die.
Wow. I heard about the bee disappearance.
Yeah.
Is that because of a virus? But then where do they go?
There's a bunch of different viruses. The bee disappearance, they don't really know. They don't really know what the it's a little bit of mystery. Some people are saying it's a pesticide. Some people are saying there's a lot of stressors right now, and it's probably a bunch of factors that are kind of going into it. They got the mites. They got some viruses going around. They got pesticides that already. I mean, think about how you are when you get sick. You're like weakened already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're weakened because you went out and you flew and a farmer was spraying pesticides on their thing. After light comes up, that's one big thing. If you're a farmer, don't spray when the bees are out. Don't spray when the bees are out.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shoot, I just got nuked, right?
Right.
And then you're like, come back, and then you get sick with a cold or something, and you're dead.
So when you rent the bees out and they go pollinate, how do you get them back?
Trucks, trailers. Load them up on a trailer truck.
But do they fly back to you, or what do you do? I don't understand. Do you let them free so they go out and?
Yeah. Well, they can find their hive. I don't have.
Oh, so you bring the hive out, like the actual.
You load up the hive, put it on a truck, and you take it to the location.
I see. Wow.
And you do it at night, so they're all in.
That's interesting.
So when they're all in, you take it up and you tape up the front so they're not flying out when you're driving down the road. You know, yeah. And you take it and you set it up and they're good to go.
That's, you know, who's a big beekeeper is James Hetfield from Metallica.
Oh yeah, is he?
He's a big beekeeper.
Really?
Yeah. I just heard him on Joe Rogan talking about all this beekeeping stuff.
You guys were opening for Metallica,
right?
We did
in 2013.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's very cool. I didn't know he was a beekeeper.
He is, yeah. If you ever meet him, talk to him about bees.
That's so cool.
So what other stuff have you done? Because those are the three that I knew. I'm sure there's a multitude of other Wild Charles videos.
There are a bunch of videos. Some of them have animals. Some of them are travel. Like I said, I just got back from the Mothman Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing music stuff, too. Sometimes I'll bust out and I'll play a funny goofball song. You know, I'll rip off some chords from Tom Petty, you know, and play a funny song, do some stand-up. I'm going to be hitting some comedy clubs here in a bit. And I'm actually going to be making videos in a bunch of different states coming up. It's going to be really cool. I'm going to be like on the road like 100% and just making a video in almost every day.
Sure,
hitting some comedy clubs. I have all that.
Do you have any of the other wild
panthers,
ones?
Other animals, panthers.
What have you done with panthers?
Not much, just, you know, just interacted with them.
Okay, but it's nothing. So, it's not
no,
like,
no crazy.
Not
no
interacting crazy with them naked
like
or anything
yeah,
like that,
no,
right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't naked. So, not everything's going to be naked.
What do you, like, what are some ideas that you have of like, some more of these crazy animal videos that you want to try? You have any thoughts?
I'm going to be doing some like live streams underwater with sharks, and I've done stuff with sharks before.
What did you do?
I've both free dived and scuba dived with sharks. They were hammerhead shark. I've done that with a hammerhead shark. I've done that with lemon sharks. I really would like, really love to do a video outside the cage with a great white. That's a huge kind of like checkbox thing. I've jumped out of airplanes.
Aren't hammerheads kind of dangerous, or are hammerheads okay?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, any shark has teeth, and it can take your hand off. It's just trying to think your hand's a fish or something, right?
Right,
if you
right.
Don't frail. I can't even
flail.
I'm like, I need this water, man.
Where's this flail water? About? Yeah. Yeah, I'll open it for you. You talk.
Oh, wow. This is great. Yeah.
Chris Jericho
opened my water.
So they're flailing around. If you're flailing, I can't do it now. Flailing your hand, a shark could go after it and eat.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these dives, they'll do beta dives where they're feeding them. Mm-hmm. And they're in a feeding frenzy. You do this, and they're competing with the other sharks. So you got 8 sharks in the water, and you do this. Bam. Goes your hand.
Right.
There was a dive guy down there right around that same area, Jupiter, Florida area, that he was bit. Now, he said he got bit by a sea creature because he leads shark dives, but.
Oh.
Just but, yeah.
A random Loch Ness monster
bit
him or whatever?
Sea creature, yeah, but it would have been in the news more.
Of course. Who's filming for you when you do? Do you have somebody with you, or do you film it yourself?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a mix. You know, I'm doing a lot of this stuff is kind of. I do it – a lot of the stuff I do myself. Sometimes a live stream, I got my phone with me, right? Mm-hmm. And I got my phone. I'm in this location. The Anaconda one, I'm hiring a guy that's done this stuff.
Somebody – they have to be pretty crazy, too, to go in the water with you.
Yeah, the dude that just – I did that Anaconda video. He just went viral for a great white shark video where his name's Dale Pearson. He walked out. He walked out, and there's a great white shark out there just out in the water, right? And he thought it was wounded, and he walked out there – to get closer to it. It went viral. I think it's got 10 million views or something like that. And but he's a crazy dude. I mean, he's not scared of anything either.
Well, yeah, either are you at this point with all the stuff you're talking about, right?
You know, I am scared of things. So that's the one thing.
What are you
I don't want to be like one of these hard asses that comes in here and he's just like, right. I'm not afraid of anything. Put me in the ring, right?
Believe me. There's
you don't know any of those guys.
Yeah, well, trust me. I think alligators and anacondas are a lot worse than wrestlers, I'll tell you that. So what are you scared of?
What am I scared of? There's nothing I wouldn't do, but that doesn't mean I'm not scared. So, like, everybody has the things they're afraid of, right? I'm afraid of heights, man. I'm afraid of heights. I still get afraid of heights. I've skydived, but I'm afraid of heights. Jumping out of an airplane was the scariest thing I could imagine.
Jumping out of an airplane with a parachute on your
back. Yeah. Jumping out without is that's even scary. That's obviously scarier, man.
Yeah.
I haven't done the whole no parachute skydive stuff. There's a couple guys have done that.
What do they do?
There's a guy that got caught in a net. And there's a guy who basically just clipped on, and then he did a tandem. So what he really needed was the ability to maneuver in the sky so he can get back to his buddy, clip on before, you know, you're at the point of.
Right.
Screwed.
So does that sort of stuff, do your fans like watching you do that? Or like, is just watching you skydive, it seems like, well, what's the twist on it?
Yeah, what's the twist on it? I've only done a little bit of skydiving. I've dabbled in it. But that's the scariest thing I've ever done. Mm. So for me, getting up there and jumping out of a plane is a lot harder. An anaconda, I was somewhat afraid. Maybe I should have been more afraid, right?
Yeah.
But I thought I was going to die jumping out of an airplane, man. I thought I was goners, man. I was making my peace with the universe before I jumped out of there. I was just like, sorry for everything I did.
So did you just come up with all this yourself, or do people approach you and say, you know, I've got a lion, would you stick your head in its mouth? Or?
I just get ideas, man. I get ideas. I like crazy, wild, over the top kind of stuff. And, I get ideas and then I do them. A lot of times it's movies inspiration. Sometimes it's a movie inspiration, you know.
What movies
sometimes,
inspired you?
What movies? Indiana Jones inspires me. I love those movies. Obviously, you know, Steve Irwin inspiration, right? He's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing with all the stuff that Steve did? Because Steve never took the piss out of it. He was very serious and respectful.
Yeah. And then, no, that was awesome about Steve. Steve was awesome.
Stabbed by the mantle ray tail or whatever.
It's kind of crazy.
That's nature, right?
Yeah, you don't know.
So
don't know.
Yeah, do you ever think about that when you're doing some of these things?
Do I think about it? Yeah, I mean, I am always ready to die.
Mm.
And I think, you know, and that sounds like, oh man, that's a downer. This guy's a comedian. Oh, he's ready to die.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the thing is, it's kind of freeing, you know, because the real things that get you are car accidents, man. Car accidents and things like that. Some of these things, yeah. So these up-close animal encounters, yeah, you can die. Or skydiving, yeah, you can die. But, like, we could die walking across the street on the way to the concert. You know what I mean? I mean, that could happen, you know, and that does happen.
It seems a little bit like tempting fate, though.
So it's always, like, cool to be okay with that, you know, and be basically like, if that happens, okay, I'm ready to do that at any time, whether it's a car or a shark or whatever, you know.
I mean, that's your point too. Like you said, if you're going to put yourself in
position, I want to die.
Yeah, but that's not a depressing thing. I mean, that's the reality of it. Like, okay, this could go horribly wrong.
It could.
And that's the price.
And if you're willing to take that risk, you're willing to take that risk. If you're not willing to take this, you don't take that risk, you know. But I think it really opens up a lot of possibilities and potentials for you, you know. And for me, that risk is worth it.
Right.
And I think that's with anybody that does. I mean, these guys that jump motorcycles, I mean,
yeah, we'll see.
Evil Knievel, these, I mean, all these guys. I mean, I think if you're willing to take the risk, you know, I think
it's the adrenaline junkie side. Yeah. When you're on Facebook watching on YouTube and you put these videos up and get the views, you get, like, is this something that, is there a sponsor that you're getting some revenue from, or is it just building your name for your stand up shows? Or
yeah, I am building my name. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Building my
name.
Brand. Building my brand, man. Yeah. I'm trying to build it as big as I can, right? Everybody's trying to build their brand as big as they can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm out there doing that. I also get revenue from licensing the videos for TV and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
So the
Anaconda one was on a TV show right this minute. It's been on a bunch of Chinese.
Chinese love you,
China,
man.
Loves me for some reason. I'm like, in the UK too. But for some reason, the UK and like, I've had more news stories there than here. Like, the UK and China, I love you.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to learn
how to say that in Chinese.
I know. I need to, like, I can say that, try to say that in a British accent.
Yes. Like, I love you, mate. Love you. All right, love. So, do you feel that sometimes because you've done some of these things that you have to, top yourself, like, okay, now I'm going to go swimming with piranhas or something like this.
There is some of that. And one of the things now is, it's like, I've done a lot of this stuff, and it's kind of like, you start to run out of things to do, right?
That's what I mean, right?
Right? I mean, the great white shark thing is there. That's there. Still want to do that. There's a lot of I'd love to do more, like, just pilot stuff. You know, I've done a little dabble in learning the basics of how to fly a helicopter, how to do this, how to do that. And you can do some cool stuff. You can spend a lifetime just doing all that stuff, right? You almost never run out of things to do that are crazy, right?
Yeah.
Some of the low hanging fruit is gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've done it.
But also, and it's not necessarily always putting yourself in these situations with animals. You're talking about being an adrenaline junkie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you could go – I'm thinking like a producer now, this whole series of things you could do, like fly a biplane from 1941 and learn how to do that.
I've done a video. I've not flown a biplane, but I have a friend who's a pilot that owns a biplane. And I've done videos with him. I've flown other aircraft where, you know, like a Cessna. You know, I've done that. But a biplane would be cool. It would be cool. Yeah. Just to do it, right?
You know what I mean? From it or something.
I need to talk to my buddy and get him to get him on that.
What did you want to do when you were a kid? Did you want to, like, join the circus? Or, like, it sound like, you know, they're obviously.
My family was the circus.
They were the circus?
Yeah, no.
Family circus? So when you watch, like, let's say, you know, like Jackass, when that was really popular.
Oh, yeah.
Did you.
I party boy print Chris.
What'd you do? Party boy?
Party boy, yeah. I was talking to him about gator wrangling because, like, he actually knows the guy that taught me gator wrangling.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I'm talking to him about that, and then I'm like, but Chris, there's something else I want you to know. I'm a party boy.
But some of those stunts that those guys did.
He was cool about it. He was just like, he was shocked. He didn't know what the heck was going on. He was
But some
he's
of those,
a cool guy, really super cool.
Some
guy.
Of those stunts were pretty wacky. Those guys were doing.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about their stunts, and I like those guys. I think those guys are cool. Yeah, yeah. They're doing a lot of stuff. They did a lot of stuff that didn't relate to animals. One thing I would say about some of their stuff is there's stuff that I won't do just because I don't want to harm an animal. You know what I mean? So there are things where I don't want to just piss off an animal. I'd like to do things where, hey, why didn't it strangle him? You know what I mean? Or why didn't he get stung? Or why didn't the alligators, you know what I mean? You know, he's swimming through a pond. Why didn't anything happen, right? There are some things where you do where if you're going to literally make an animal bite you and things like that, I'm not interested in that stuff. I could get more views if I did that stuff. I could. And it's not that I'm scared of doing that stuff. It's just like it's also about respecting, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. You seem like you respect the animals and actually know a little bit about them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not just some idiot that hopped the fence and jumped in the water with the alligators.
I might be an idiot, but I'm not not that idiot.
But I'm not some idiot, yeah.
some
but you
idiot.
Know what I mean? But that's what I mean. Like, it's not, you didn't just like, oh, look, watch me and like I said, hop the fence into this quarry.
Yeah, yeah,
You're studying and learning about the animals that you're working
with. But I'm also doing, I'm also looking into doing some fire stunt stuff. Like, you know, Steve-O does the whole fire stunt stuff. I like that stuff. It's cool.
What kind of stunts are those?
I got some friends from, they're actually Ohio Burn Unit. And they hold like Guinness Book of World Records for like full burns and things like that.
What? What do you mean? What does that mean?
Oh, they did a, I have to look at the video, man. They did a band video where literally the whole music video, they taught the guys how to light themselves on fire. It's this Ohio band. I don't remember the band's name, man. I'm blanking on it. But literally, they're jamming. This right up your
That's
alley.
Pretty
man.
Cool,
they're jamming, and flames are shooting off their head. It's like the most gnarly, crazy.
So when you were talking, though, about the full burns, you're talking about like full burns but protected with the gel.
They're doing gel. I've been lit on fire before, not for a stunt. I was lit on fire as a child.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a buddy, you know, we're out camping. Hey, the fire's not working. You know, I'm going to get it started. I'm standing on the other side of the fire. He's got the gas right there. Splash. You know what happens when gas hits fire and it splashes on your face?
Oh my God, yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. You got it in your face?
Burned like hell. Yeah, on my face.
You don't have any scars. It looks good, yeah.
You know why?
Why?
You know why? Because I'm very, very lucky. I had really bad burns. There was a stream right where we camped by the stream, because we were camping by the stream to get water, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hurled myself over it and just threw myself right in the water and just, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was – and it put it out. And I'm laying there and I'm in shock. You know, the adrenaline kicks in and stuff and you're just like – you don't feel it right at first. And I'm laying there and my buddy's like, are you all right, man? Are you all right? And I'm like – he's like – and I'm getting up. He's like, hey, man, don't tell anybody. Don't tell my mom about this. I'm like, don't tell your mom about my face. You can see it right here. She's going to – it was crazy.
Lucky to So what came first, the stand-up comedy or the videos?
I was doing some stand-up after the videos, but I was doing the videos first. I was doing the videos first, and the videos have actually taken off, so I'm doing a lot more video stuff.
Right.
But I want to get back. You're stretched thin, man. You can only do so much at the same time, right?
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know that. You got the band, and you're taking a break right now from WWE for that. But, I got plans on doing some more, hitting some more stand-up clubs and stuff like that.
Who are your favorite comedians?
Who are my favorite comedians? You mentioned Joe Rogan earlier, man.
Mm.
Joe Rogan is hilarious. I like the way he thinks.
He's done a great job of building his brand too.
Yeah, and he's got the whole podcast thing going. And
podcast,
like,
he's got the announcing for UFC and all the Fear Factor and all that other stuff too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's done the reality show stuff, all that stuff. Yeah, he's good at it. But he's hilarious. I like the way he thinks about things too. His podcast is great.
Right. So when you do your stand up, though, you just concentrate on other material, or do you talk about the stuff that
I talk about?
Done?
I talk about kind of my life doing this whole internet kind of. Internet celebrity, whatever that's worth, like that and $1.50, right?
I guess a cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee, right? But I talk about that. So there's some of that kind of a little bit of a self-deprecating humor there. Crazy stuff that I've done, like, you know, stunt stuff, like, you know,
right.
You know, the fact that, hey, my claim to fame is I got naked with bees. Hey, mom, guess what? I'm in the news again.
But so when you talk about, we mentioned YouTube celebrities, the internet celebrities, and all this other thing, Facebook watch celebrities.
Yeah,
it's amazing how that's the world we live in now.
It's insane. It's insane, and I know. I've collabed with a lot of people. They have staggering, you know, followings. Like Jake Paul, he's got 10 million.
But then he puts out a song, and he puts out a book, and he's, you know, all the stuff he does with all the 10 million followers.
He's smart. Smart guy. Yeah. Smart guy.
Do you have, like, conventions with all the...
I just did a convention. I just did Chicago Comic Con out at Wizard World.
Okay.
Wizard World. Do you do any of those?
I do sometimes, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But so, that's what I mean, but do you get together with all
I did one, and I brought animals. And I brought animals along, and I brought an anaconda. I brought an anaconda to... Yeah. It was cool. It was fun.
But you mentioned that you know Jake and Logan. Is that because just through the YouTube?
Well, I haven't done anything with Logan yet.
Okay, but you know,
like,
Jake.
Like
from...
I shot Jake a message about collabing. When I was out in LA, and we collabed, and so
you did videos together.
Yeah,
collabed.
Yeah. I've collabed with him once.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not like Jake's best bud. It's interesting about Jake every single day.
I know, but I had a dude. His name is Nick Santo.
He's cool, dude,
yeah. Oh, Jake or Nick?
No, Jake. Is.
Yeah, yeah.
But a little bad rap a little bit now, but he's in that stage where he's rebelling and
kids, right? Absolutely. Right? But you know, there was the MySpace stars, and there was the Viner stars, and there's all.
Yeah.
But then when it disappears, you end up with, like, you know, my friend Nick, who's on the show, was a Viner guy that had a million. And then when Viner goes down, you're left with nothing.
Yeah. You got to diversify, man. That's why, what I mean. That's why I'm plugging my Facebook watch right now. Right. You hear me plugging my Facebook watch. I got a huge Twitter following. Mm-hmm. Twitter goes under. Are those people still going to find me? So, I mean, some people still know who I am, but will they immediately migrate over to? So it's all about, I mean, one of the things is building your, especially when you don't have like a big production company behind you, right? You're making money off views. You're making money off videos and how many people
self,
see them, right?
You're making movies, you're doing it all yourself.
Yeah. You're doing it. That's the crazy thing about this. All us internet people, we're like our own producer. We're our own actor. We're our own business guy. You know, we're the guy that reaches out and lines stuff up. I mean, we're doing all this stuff. I mean, it's cool because you get to learn all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you get to have that experience. But yeah, I mean, so getting out there on as many platforms as you can.
That's the way to do it, right?
That is the way to do it. It is the way to do it. I mean, yeah.
So just
Then you also get locked into the thing. Well, I'm producing content for this and this and this and this. And you don't want to produce the same thing, right?
Right.
So it's more.
Well, like you said, too, you know, how far do you have to go once you have, like, you know, the beekeeping and the alligators and all that sort of thing? Do people recognize you sometimes when you're out and about?
I've had people ask for my autograph, which is weird.
Yes, yeah.
Which is weird. I've had that happen a few times. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird for me because, you know, I'm not on pay-per-view, you know? Yeah. I don't expect it, right? You know?
People watch it's weird. My daughters have a YouTube channel, and they have like 1,500 subscribers. And we're at the mall the other day, and some little girl recognized my daughter.
Right?
People out there watching.
Yeah, they're watching. You know, they're watching. You know? And now the crazy thing now is that I'm doing these live streams where I'm traveling, and I'm letting people know I'm in the area.
So what do you do when you travel? You
just go. So they follow me. They can come say hi to me. But
are you going to do like the sights of the city, or what do you do on your travel videos?
So my travel videos are. I mean, they're always different. Sometimes it's like a festival, right? You know, I went down and I followed the whole blues trail because I love music. I followed the whole blues trail in Mississippi down to Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
I went down and learned how to make duck calls with Godwin from Duck Dynasty. He showed me how to make duck calls. So it's,
how do you make duck call?
I'm not very good at it. He's like, you're slow. You need to make about like 700 of those a day. You're not going to make it in this whole duck call.
Is it like, is it with your mouth? Like a ring?
Well, no. Like the wood ones.
Oh, actually making them. I gotcha.
Because that's what they made on that show.
That's their whole dynasty, from
making duck calls. So I went down there and did that. So sometimes it's places and the people you run into in those places, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Or, hey, I'm traveling through this area. And guess what? Did you know there's an alligator rescue in Michigan? There are over 100 alligators at an alligator rescue in Michigan.
Really?
Hey, let's stop in and let's go feed some alligators and do that. Or did you know there's a horse rescue here? Hey, this horse right here needs a home right here. So I try to draw attention to good stuff too, so that, like, you know, people they get more donations, you know, or like an animal that needs the home can get adopted. But like I said, it's not always animals. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'm in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and I'm hanging out with this blues man. You know,
so you just go there.
He's got some wild stories. Let's talk about them.
That's cool, man. You just go there and just show up and just get going.
Get going. And I look for interesting stuff. So if I know somebody's in the area, I shoot them a line, just like I shot you a line, man.
Have you, that was very smart. Have you seen some rare things or some cool things that like you mentioned, like going to Clarkstown, Mississippi or whatever it is? Have you found any other places like that with cool people in there that you never expected to see?
I never expected to see. Oh, man, I mean,
Like when I'm on the spot, it's always like,
But I guess it wasn't a very well worded question. What I mean is when you're talking about, like you said,
all the time,
like when you go in to follow the blues trail and
here's the thing. I went to the Mothman Festival, right? I went to the Mothman Festival and I'm doing a live stream with the guy that did a documentary. And suddenly he's just like, I'm like, hey, is there a cool place to like, you know, do some streaming? And he's like, oh yeah, I'll introduce you to so-and-so. And then so-and-so is just like, oh, I'll take you out to the TNT area. And he takes me out to these abandoned bunkers that are creepy as hell and that I never knew existed. And now I'm doing one there.
TNT areas, what does that mean? TNT areas.
TNT area is a place in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where they produce TNT.
Oh, I gotcha.
They still call it the TNT area?
Wow.
Dude, it was crazy. I went in there. I heard the acoustics, and then I was like, I gotta come back here and play the guitar. So I came back after and did a few guitar songs in there, and just like, this is insane and creepy. And I made a little video off that. But always learning about new things, like because the people that you run into, they know the areas better than like
absolutely
the first thing, or you know, and they introduce you to the new cool stuff. Or like, I'm gonna be making a video with a guy that has an experimental plane, right? And so it's like an ultralight that he built. I don't know. It's kind of scary. It's not even have sides. It's going to be like a video where like you're like just looking out and you're just, I can see down. You can see right down in between two. Yeah. And I just met the guy because I was live streaming another festival. And you just keep meeting more people. And it just kind of builds a network. And then you end up over here or you ended up over I heard about the Ohio Burn Unit guys from being out at a Wizard World concert and convention. And then I'm out there. And now I'm doing something. It's crazy. So you just run into people.
Sure, and just keep your eyes.
And I think that's
open.
Cool because if everything's planned, it's not an adventure. It's not fun. But if one of the things I'm doing with my show is it's the random people I run into too, just as much as the cool animals.
Absolutely.
Or it's the music. It's you know, it's all
it's
that,
the stuff
man.
You find that you don't plan on.
Yeah.
It's sometimes even better than the stuff you do.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Last question. Is there a video or a stunt or that you want to do? Like you have in the back of your mind, like this would be the ultimate thing to be able to do. Like maybe with a certain animal or a certain,
That is it's a really, really hard one. I mentioned the great white. I do want to do the great white. That's kind of like I would love to actually do. Okay, so this is this holy grail kind of thing right here, right? All right, I would love to do not just I free dive with a great white outside of it. Have you seen Ocean Ramsey? Have you seen any of her stuff? Oh wow, she's awesome. She's a gorgeous model too, by the way. Mm. But she basically swims with great white sharks. And she'll free dive, she'll dive down, and she grabs on the fin and lets them tow her. I want to do that. I want to do that because, I mean, after that, what do you do, right?
Right.
Because, like, I mean, literally, I mean, to ride around, cruise along and have
– it's a great white, though.
And you're holding your breath. And you're holding your breath. You're not even scuba. You're just holding your breath.
You're really tempting fate there on all sides of the coin.
Yeah.
You're holding your breath and you're holding on to a great white
shark. I would love to do that. For stunt stuff, I think that – I'd also love to do the whole burn stuff. Like I want to do – you have gel and understand how to do that stuff. But I really love to do some of that kind of stuff get into those kind of stunts. Mm-hmm. I would like to learn from these movie guys, you know,
right,
I mean,
how
do they do that
stunt
stuff,
work,
right? You know what I mean?
Those guys are a breed of their own as well.
They do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, man, you do some crazy stuff too, Charles. It's great talking to you, man. I love your adventurous spirit. It's very, really cool.
That was awesome. Great hanging with you, man. Hey.
Thank you, brother. All right, thanks to Wild Charles Wyan, Daredevil and YouTube star who's doing his own live show on Facebook Watch. It's called The Wild Charles Show. He releases new episodes every week. Just follow The Wild Charles Show on Facebook. You can still see the naked beekeeping video, his stunt with the anaconda, swimming with the alligators, all that stuff. Let's wait and see what Charles comes up with next. And we know what I'm coming up with next. It's the Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. And remember, if you book by January 15th, you must book by January 15th. You'll get a picture of me with the list. I'll put your name on the damn thing if you want. You want to make the list? You know what happens if you book your cabin before January 15th at ChrisJerichoCruise.com? Huh? You know what happens? You're going to make the list. That's right. You get a picture of me with the list. I'll put your name on it as well. As low as $150 deposit will hold your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. If you're a little bit short in the wallet after Christmas, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about paying
The cabin all at once. We've got some great payment plans. So don't freak out, man. $150, plop it on down, and you can worry about the rest over the course of the next 10 months. Remember, ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And when you book your cabin, everything is included in the price. Everything. All the food, all the activities, all the live podcasts, stand-up comedy shows, meet and greets, concerts, signings. You want to take a picture with Mick Foley? It's free. You want to go see the Sea of Honor tournament presented by Ring of Honor? It's free as well. Everything is free. You want to come see Fozzy play? It's free. You want to see the Words of Jericho, my live talk show? It's free. Everything is all inclusive. All you got to pay for is drinks and gambling, but the rest is all on my tab if you reserve a cabin, okay? And you'll be able to come hang on the ship with all these incredible guests, legends, Hall of Famers, talented MRFers, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, SoCal Val, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Raven, the Keeping It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, Shane Helms, Killing the Town with Cyrus and Paul Lazenby, Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing their unprofessional wrestling show. It's hilarious. Mystery Science Theater, but if it's for wrestling. Beyond the Darkness telling some scary tales. Brad Williams, Ron Funches, Jim Brewer, all making you laugh your asses off. Jim's playing with the Loud and Rowdy, his band. Fozzie's playing. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, King, the Dave Spivak Project, Speewee. Go check out his new video, Get Out of My House Now on YouTube. The Cherry Bombs, the Darlings of Rock and Roll. The world's greatest female AC/DC cover band, Shoot to Thrill. Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band. Diamond Dallas Page will be doing live yoga workshops on the board of the ship. Busted Open will be there. Larry Dallas and Dave LaGreca. And, of course, the Pièce de Résistance, Ring of Honor, presenting the Sea of Honor aboard the ship. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean. The ring is nailed down to the ship, secured by a team of engineers. And remember, the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship title shot in the future. Young Bucks will be there. The villain, Marty Scurll. The American Nightmare, Cody. Don't call him Rhodes. Cody's wife, Brandy. The Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle. Will be announcing more big Ring of Honor talent in the upcoming weeks. Don't miss out. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Book your cabin now before January 15th and get a picture of me with the list. All right. One last big thank you to the Killer Talk is Jericho sponsors and all of you for supporting the sponsors and for supporting me. DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of DDP's biggest holiday sale ever. Get 20% off the DDPY DVDs, the app, all related match. Also, Geico, save money on your car insurance. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And coming up on Wednesday, we're kicking off the Westwood One Talk is Jericho era with a preview of Wrestle Kingdom 12 featuring New Japan Pro Wrestling color commentator and co-host of Killing the Town, Don Callis. You can hear the whole story of how Alpha versus Omega came to be, our thoughts on the entire show. Everything's going to be there. Don helped set up the Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho match. He's going to tell his role in it. I'm going to tell you my role in it. It's going to be a great way to kick it off. Listen, thank you so much for being with me over the last 4 years here on Podcast One. It's just going to get bigger and better from here. Westwood One, the Westwood One era starts January 3rd with the Wrestle Kingdom 12 preview. Don't you dare miss it. We'll see you then. Have a great new year. Be safe. Do not drive and drunk. Be cool. Be happy. And thank you guys so much. Have a great new year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday on Westwood One. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard. Stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. And a big yeah, boy. See you in 2018, man.